Science Faction is a science education podcast for adults only. There is frequent nudity.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello! Hello and welcome to Science Faction 267. Science Faction, I call BS.
I really don't know how we're going to beat last Thursday's episode. That was kind of, we kind of jumped the shark.
Ended up having an audio problem. Sorry, by the way, to all of our listeners out there. We have a new guest host that came in that week. I apologize to him. That was Troy. Bill, by the way, you have a really big competition. Troy's pretty damn good. He had read, the audience didn't get to hear it, he had previously read 3 of the 4 I Call BS articles.
Wow, so not just the ones that you gave us.
Right, like. Yeah. I Call BS, for those of you guys who don't know, I give the main articles that we cover on Sunday night's show, I give those articles to everybody beforehand so they can research it, but obviously for I Call BS, I can't. He had just happened to have read 3 of the 4 articles.
A retired professor, or
no? He just got his PhD that week.
The young doctor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's a stud. So he's awesome. Please listen again when Troy comes on. He was fantastic, and he was very understanding about the whole audio situation. I apologize to the audience that our audio ended up not working out, and you had to listen to Damien's horrible Damien Channel's a Dead Scientist bit.
You got to listen to more scientific credentials channeled through my body than you could ever hope to achieve with your mortal lifespan. Yeah. Also, Bill, he left out that on this last Sunday's episode, he didn't spend that portion of the show insulting that scientist's chosen field to his face. So weigh that when you choose to abstain or not from an answer.
To be fair, Troy's a much larger guy than you, Bill. So he's just, a little bit more physically intimidating. He's like 6'2", so you know.
You are misrepresenting the young doctor.
And of course, I am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. I love playing this completely unbiased and fair game.
It is both of those things, and I love playing it too, as will our scientist guest host for the afternoon, Bill. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I recently decided to eat some beef liver, even though I'm vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
And so now I have all this
energy,
extra iron, and I'm going to pound Damien this week.
Yeah, give it to him. Give Damien that beef.
I am in a submissive stance.
Yeah. All right, let's move right on to I Call BS.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
All right, I Call BS, the game where I read 4 science news articles. My panelists compete to see which ones are real and which ones are BS, standing for bad science. Are you guys ready to play?
No.
What about now?
You got me.
Okay, there we go. All right, article number 1. The Chinese have finally created a child from 2 female parents that was able to have a child of its own. Damien, is this science or bad science?
I've never been to China, but from what I understand, they're not exactly rich in females.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm going to go with bad science. Unless it's like some eccentric Chinese billionaire who's just showing off his wealth by taking this nation's most valuable resource, reproductive women.
It'd be great if that was like his harem. He was just mixing different women together. I'm going to get superwoman. I'm going to mix a woman and a woman. All right. And Bill.
Okay. So I know that China does a lot of these kind of fringe reproductive studies.
Right.
And
notice, Bill, I'm not going to give any more information at all, but I will say that I did not include the species of this child or mother. So I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah, so I'm saying it's plausible that this happened, and so I'm going to go with science.
All right.
And I know for a second I compared women to a resource, and that's reductive, but you could also assume that dick in China means nothing.
Right.
Like that's, so take, there's 2 sides to that market
equation.
I feel
like that's a bumper sticker. Dick in China means nothing.
Literally, there's no word.
You know, it's funny, dick in China means Richard. Article number 2. The newest vaccine superstar is a groundbreaking diarrhea vaccine. Damien, is this science or bad science?
You said diarrhea vaccine superstar. I know that Lady Gaga has Crohn's. She is a superstar.
Okay.
Diarrhea. That's just me connecting the dots, but I am going to go with bad science because I don't see why anybody would want autism so much that they'd contract diarrhea to do it.
Well, I was going to say, you know how vaccines work. You get a little bit of the virus. So I was just wondering if somebody took a little poo. All right, and Bill.
I will say science because the people coming up with vaccines are pretty smart.
Yeah, that's true. Article number 3.
Why we get a scientist here for those deep, deep science perspectives.
Yeah, the insights. I know where the smart people are.
Article number 3. A new paper suggests that string theory is not compatible with the idea of dark energy. Damien, is this science or bad science?
this is science. But I don't think that was the article. I think the article was, if you attach dark energy to the end of string theory, would Schrodinger's cat still bat at it?
It's like a little yarn ball.
Yeah, it was a thought exercise.
All right, and Bill.
We did discuss that dark energy was made up. So really, is there any...
Yeah, I mean, by that token, string theory is also completely made up. Yeah. So I'm sort of shooting in the dark, so to speak, in the...
Welcome to my life.
Yeah. I'm going to go science.
All right, and lastly, a new archaeological tool that measures the presence of ancient human mucus in an area has been demonstrated to be effective and indicative of the size of human occupation of a specific location. Damien, is this science or bad science?
I wasn't listening because I was thinking that shooting in the dark would be an incredible motto for the autoerotic asphyxiation lobby.
That is true, only if they were doing it in a dark room. Also, I never said shooting in the dark, but...
We build it.
All right, fair enough.
I have to imagine you're unconscious for that last shoot. Okay. Anyhow, it's...
Well, aren't you in a closet, right? You're...
I would imagine you'd like to be well-lit so you can see the knots. I don't know. Let's talk to Carradine. Well, actually, you can't really talk to
him. Yeah, he was doing it in the dark.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, don't run with scissors or beat off while being choked in the dark. You got to do that stuff in the light.
Rookie mistake, Carradine. This is science. Archaeology is boring.
All right. And Bill.
I'm going to go bad science because I don't believe that mucus can stick around that long.
All right. Let's go back and see how you guys did. Follow along at home and see how you did. Article number one. The Chinese have finally created a child from two female parents that was able to have a child of its own. Damien thought this was false. Bill thought this was true. And this one is science, but it was in mice. So Chinese researchers were able to create same-sex offspring from both two males and two females. However, the one from two males ended up dying shortly thereafter. The one from two females was actually able to grow up and then have a child of its own.
With a male or with another female?
Yes, with a male.
Ah, okay.
So,
you think that some Arizona congressman just going to listen to that part of the show like, two male mice can't even raise a baby mouse.
But the females can. This is really interesting. This is taking haploid stem cells. So haploid and diploid are the two types of cells we have. Almost all the cells in your body are diploid. You have both sides. Haploid is you basically have half of your genetic material. Those are only your gametes, either sperm or egg. And those combine with half of somebody else's and they make a full cell. Well, they took these stem cells, which are the basis for those sperm or egg cells, and they were able to take two of these from females, and actually they did this with males too, and combine them to make a single embryo of a new creature. So this could be the way that same-sex couples end up having kids in the future. This is very likely.
Through mice?
Yes. The mouse is the surrogate, if you will. It's really hard on the mouse.
Yeah, was this still like carried to term in a mouse?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they would basically, it's somewhat like a cloning process. You eradicate the nuclear DNA from an egg cell of an existing mouse. You input the two haploid stem cell DNA parts into it. They combine, create a diploid cell that then begins replicating within that egg cell and then becomes a normal creature. Very, very cool stuff. So there is a realistic idea that in the future, same-sex couples will be able to have their own genetic children.
Like Cinderella receiving help from a fat mouse.
Yes, that's exactly what this is like, David. Article number two, the newest vaccine superstar is a groundbreaking diarrhea vaccine. Damien thinks this is false. Bill thinks this is true. And this one is science. It's a 3-in-1 diarrhea vaccine that combats the top three pathogenic causes of bacteria.
First base, second base, third base.
Right, yeah. Like, yeah, it gets...
When you're sliding into first, you need a vaccine.
So diarrhea, while we think of as a hilarious joke, as Bill just pointed out, it actually kills 100,000 children under the age of 5 worldwide every single year.
That's a very dark joke.
Yeah, it really is.
Very dark.
Yeah, the punchline is Haiti. Yeah. It's really bad. Diarrhea actually ends up killing a lot of people every year, a lot of them being children because of hydration issues. And it also hurts travelers. So like almost everybody who goes to certain third world countries ends up getting sick. We can call it Montezuma's Revenge or whatever. You're getting sick because of pathogens there. Basically isolated the three most common causes of that. The one you're most familiar
alcoholism.
With. Alcoholism. Yeah. All right. And he said, I'm going to make a vaccine that will combat all of these. And he did. And it seems fairly effective. This might be available on the private market first to, you know, international business travelers who want to avoid it. And then eventually we can get it to kids in Haiti who need it to survive. Very, very cool. This is one of those things that, again, super underreported. This guy might be considered the next Jonas Salk. The same way Jonas Salk, you know, was able to stop scourges like polio. this might be something that ends up changing the lives of a whole bunch of people, not only third world people who are dying from it, but also, to be a little bit more selfish, first world people who are getting dramatically sick every time they go to fucking India.
Do you think that this particular vaccine is going to receive a ton of pushback from the FBA due to efforts from the underwear lobby? Because without diarrhea, there's no more sharding.
That's right.
And that's
that half the reason for underwear, right?
That affects our farmers who grow cotton. That affects...
On article number 3, a new paper suggests that string theory is not compatible with the idea of dark energy. Both of you guys thought this one was science, and this one is science. So I'm not going to pretend that I understand string theory that well. Again, I read Elegant Universe. That's about as far as I go. And I kind of adhere to something that I got told actually by Brian Greene himself, who's the author of The Elegant Universe, which is...
Stop following me. Leave my family alone.
And anybody you run into who says they understand string theory doesn't understand string theory, because it's one of those things that like five people in the world know and they don't talk about it because yeah. They're too autistic to make eye contact. Regardless, string theory is a way of describing the universe at its basal level being small vibrating strings and membranes as it got combined with M theory. And this idea is completely conceptual. It's all mathematical. It's really not a testable hypothesis because it can't be disproven. So it moves from the field of science really kind of to the field of philosophy.
Natural philosophy.
Yeah, and really it's philosophy and math at some point. Whether or not we ever find a testable thing is unsure. But one of the things this recent paper came out and said...
Are
based
the strings
on-
too small?
Yeah, way too small.
They're like 10 orders of magnitude smaller than the particles that we know of.
Well, they're at the Planck length, right? They're at the smallest length possible of subatomic particles. Like, it's the smallest thing that could ever exist in this conceptual framework.
I was just trying to say something stupid. It turned out that was a legitimate question.
Well,
there are super strings, right? So those could be like cosmic in length.
Yes, right. True. Right. And so this new paper suggests that it is incompatible with dark energy, which, as we discussed on Sunday, is basically a filler that we have when we say the universe is continually expanding. It's an expanding at an increasing rate. That is incompatible with what we know about the universe and gravity. There has to be some kind of other energy force out there that's causing it to expand at this rate. We don't know what that is. We don't know what it could be. We can't see it. We can't measure it. We can't do anything. All we can give it is this weird name. We'll call it dark energy. We don't know what the fuck it is. Very different from dark matter, which does exist. We can kind of see it in the way that we can't see it. But this is a different thing. This is completely theoretical. So basically what we've said is these completely theoretical things, these two completely theoretical things that we cannot in any way prove are mutually exclusive, if this guy is right, meaning only one of these unprovable things can be right, though they're both possibly wrong.
Right.
No, wrong.
Least confusing question in the game's history.
And lastly, article number 4, a new archaeological tool that measures the presence of ancient human mucus in an area has been demonstrated to be effective and indicative of the size of human occupation of a given location. Damien thought this was true. Bill thought this was false. And for a perfect score, this is bad science. Congratulations, yeah. Bill, all for right. smoking Damien.
Yeah, it was all the beef
perfect
liver,
score.
Really. The beef liver did
the
it.
Beef liver.
Yeah. You won a game from a man who doesn't even respect your field of science.
So indeed, they did not find this with human mucus, but they did find it with something else. And this is going to be a huge deal for my particular field of science. This will again change the way we do things. They found it with human feces.
Yeah, there you go. Pooology.
So the concentration of coprostanol, which is the sterol most abundant in human feces, can be measured in lake sediments because people poo near water. It gets collected.
Which is dumb, right? Like, don't yeah. poo where you drink.
Yeah.
Well, that's our pooing lake. We got a drinking lake across the mountain.
You got to remember that in a hunter-gatherer lifestyle, you're usually trying to go to the bathroom in something like a stream, so it takes it away from you if you're not burying it. Because of that, it's going to end up somewhere. Lakes are the end of streams.
Yeah.
It ends up there, and what happens is it gets layered down in the sediment layer. So in the bottom of that lake, the dirt layers will have these poo levels basically in it. And they can look for this particular sterol, which is the most abundant in human feces, and can be measured there. And they can tell if there's humans around. And if so, they can measure how much and tell the population. This was a theoretical idea, and they went to New Zealand. Now, New Zealand's a great place to go for a few reasons. It's giant.
Pan ham.
Yeah, that's right. Lord of the Rings.
Wine and lambs, I think.
Yeah, right? All of those, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of those you can have sex with while drinking the other.
It's not a Ken Ham reference.
Right, no. Or you're drinking lamb's blood and you're fucking a wine glass, right? Or...
Either way, it's a good time, you know? Either we call it a New Zealand Thursday, you know?
Or this Kiwi country?
But the great thing about New Zealand is it wasn't occupied until pretty late, actually, for such a large piece of land by a Polynesian group called the Maori. And they weren't there until about 1,000 years ago, maybe a little bit later.
And then they started shitting uncontrollably.
Yeah, well, immediately.
They didn't have the diarrhea vaccine.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but so they left these sediment layers. And we were able to correlate them pretty closely with the burning out of the New Zealand rainforest, which also happened basically right when humans got there. They started burning things so that they could plant crops and they can have their villages and stuff. So we were able to tell pretty closely, based on carbon dating, almost exactly when these forests started getting burned down. Because again, it's in recent time, so it's within the last 1,000 years, in which case carbon dating is very, very accurate, usually accurate to within 50 or 60 years nowadays. So they were able to tell very closely when humans got there, and they checked lake sediment levels, and it perfectly correlated with this particular sterol in human feces. This is a great proof of concept study. And what it means is we can start looking back at lake sediments, and as long as those sterols are still in there, as long as they last in the natural environment, we can tell when human beings got to an area. This is huge. This is going to change when we're able to say certain places were occupied. Before, we can just say we have arc sites or we don't have arc sites. It's all we can say. Now we can look at the actual dirt and be able to tell, here is this lake. It accumulated the remnants of human beings. We can prove humans got here. Now let's look for the arc sites.
How long does that last?
We don't know. This is an initial proof of concept study.
So by taking a scoopful of this sediment at the bottom of a lake bed that's been confirmed to have a remnants of human feces, couldn't I say that I'm doing an all-natural, organic, Native American feces transplant for a better gut microbiome?
Only if you then took it as a suppository, I guess.
How do you think gut microbiomes have surpassed dolphin sex is the number one thing we talk about on this show.
It wouldn't be your gut microbiome, by the way. Those bacteria are long dead. This is just a remnant of a particular sterol.
So I get polio, probably.
Regardless, this is amazing. This is really interesting. Look for the future to be us looking for human occupation by testing lake sediments to see whether or not these human sterols are in there, and being able to say now, hey, look, we found a place that we didn't think had human beings that had it 50,000 years beforehand. Let's go find the ark sites. This is amazing, especially when, as we discussed earlier on Sunday, a lot of the early archaeology sites in a lot of places are going to be miles underwater. And because of that, we're not going to be able to find them. But if we find a nearby lake that is still above water that happens to have these sterols in the lake sediment, we're going to be able to tell that human beings were there. This is groundbreaking. This is really going to change a lot of archaeology. Very, very interesting study.
Well, Bill, it's been an honor to come in twice this week to record on separate days. The second time being to lose to you today. Thank you. It's an honor. Congratulations, Bill.
You're welcome.
And thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 267, where you learned how the Chinese made a baby out of two women, how we came up with a new 3-in-1 diarrhea vaccine that'll make traveling much easier, how a new 3-in-1 diarrhea vaccine might save hundreds of thousands of lives and your next trip to India, why string theory and dark energy probably aren't compatible with each other, and how a new tool measuring poo in lake sediments might completely revolutionize the field of archaeology. Thank you so much for joining us, and come back next week for Science Faction 268.
A baby from two Chinese women sounds like the setup to a racist joke, whose punchline is, that's twice as bad at driving, but twice as good at karate.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.